This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The Cubby House is a show about two cub-identifying guys exploring the big and hairy issues in and around the bear community.
This program is designed for a mature audience. It may contain adult themes, sex and drug references, and of course, coarse language. Listener discretion is advised.
And welcome to the Cubby House for the 9th of April. I'm Cookie.
And I'm Kevin.
And thanks to Kiss My Art and now to Joy's new and upgraded wonderful Doomsday Clock, as we're going to be dubbing it, we now exactly know what time it is to tell you here on Joy 94.9. Now, we are going to be talking a lot of things tonight. We're going to try and keep it all in the hour.
Well, now we don't have an excuse for going off the hour, do we?
Exactly. Mind you, will we joined tonight by our guest host, Mr. Nick Helmer, who will be turning on his mic later because he's been getting into your brain, I hear, Kevin.
Oh, yes. Unfortunately, we keep inviting rangers onto the show. I don't understand why I don't. It's like they're ganging up on me or something. I don't know.
Self-infliction, maybe. but tonight we are going to be discussing things in Kink Corner, such as the colour coral.
Oh, I'm a bit worried about that one.
So you should be.
That's all right. And we've also got John Richards from Outlands on.
Woo! Ooh, nice. Something else I come across on the internet this week is this concept of chivalry. So I'm going to be asking the question, is there such thing as chivalry for the gay population?
All right. Well, I'll leave that. In Get to Geek On, I thought we might discuss a different type of Easter egg.
And there's been some interesting ones I've already seen the show.
Oh, yeah. There's some good ones.
We've also got Nick talking about one of his particular favourite topics, and that is puppy play. Here on the Cubby House, Joy 94.9 for tonight.
Don't forget our discussion topic.
We also, yes, have our, as always, discussion topic for tonight. Now, this is yours, Kevin.
Oh, this is all my baby.
All yours. Take it away.
All right. So, obviously, we're not really overly religious in our community. Well, not overly. But I want to know, how did you overindulge in this long weekend? Want to have your say on the Cubby House project? Contact us through Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. The Cubby House Project on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, you are with the crazy Cubby House tonight. Yeah. See, I don't need proof. They just laugh. The drop of a hat.
Give us a clock and apparently we're entertained
Wait,
for hours.
We've lost the clock. We're back to screensaver.
Oh, no. This will be an interesting hour, I'll tell you that much.
But the voice, you know, just jumping in is our guest host. This is Nick. Hi, Nick.
Hi, everybody. And I just waved, even though there's my picture.
Can I make the note? Hi, Dr. Nick. Dr. Tabe.
Yes.
So we've got a section that we use to introduce you to the rest of the crazy people out there. It gives fair warning to everyone. So there's a series of rapid-fire questions. You got to say the first thing that pops into your head. All right, let's go through this.
The most rational thing, shall we?
Do you want to start?
Okay, what's your age?
25.
Name one thing you miss about being a kid.
Being able to get away with stuff.
Because you can't do that now?
Oh, no, I can. It's just harder. Yeah, you know, the cute factor sort of wears off after a while. People tend to get to know you.
Next one. Do you have any hidden talents?
Yes.
What? Come on. Come on.
First thing that pops into your head.
Crazy as it might be.
I don't know. I
make stuff?
Yes, I make stuff.
Okay, we'll leave with that. Kevin.
All right, what body part do you get caught staring at?
Mine or other people's?
Oh my gosh. How often do you stare at your own body? Don't answer that question.
they call them fingers, but I never see them.
Other people's. I'm trying to keep a straight face here. Other people's. What body parts of other people do you get caught staring at?
Noses and eyes.
Noses?
Yes. Have you ever sat on a train and just looked at the various different noses on people? There are some really interesting ones.
I haven't, but I dare say I will tomorrow.
Yes, I'm in your head. I'm corrupting your thoughts.
All right.
Wonderful. What's the last thing you bought?
The last thing I bought. Blu-tack, I think it was.
Blu-tack.
Easy enough.
Oh, wow. Okay. What's your current obsession?
Making ninja weapons.
Okay.
Preferably not to use, but
unique,
okay.
Unique, and they're not actually made out of metal, are they?
No, they're made out of plastic. But
so it's like cosplay.
Yeah, they're cosplay weapons, and they look really cute, really nice. And yeah.
Cute.
I know, I said cute. Shame.
Right, do you have any phobias?
Yes.
And?
I would be putting myself in... Okay, spiders and clowns.
I'm totally there with you. totally there.
Somebody agrees with you?
Yes.
All right. Sexually, what melts your butter?
As some people can attest, the lung acupressure point just at the top of my left shoulder.
That's a very precise answer.
Yeah, but if you sort of bite on it lightly, you'd just turn to butter.
Oh, so it actually involves biting, not just pressing.
Oh, no. Pressing, biting, you know.
Etc. Etc.
Yes.
You wake up in a prison cell. What's most likely the crime you've committed?
The first thing that popped into my head was sodomy.
of course.
Indecent exposure, or
yeah, that's
again. That's really? All right. Yeah, right. You're about to be sent to a desert island. What are the three items you would take with you? And we've recently had to institute a stipulation: they cannot be electronic.
Right.
Yeah.
First things that pop into your head.
Might I say the clock is ticking.
Sorry. a knife, a lighter, and...
Yes.
I don't know. My third item
would rope,
be.
Go rope.
Oh, rope. Yes, you can Thank never you. Be with that rope. You can Big. Never have too much rope.
Well, he's not only kinky, he's also sexually... survival conscious. That's the word I stunned my tongue. There you go. Finally, did you answer any of these questions with a lie?
Yes.
Oh, there was a long hesitation there.
Yes.
I'm interested to find out which ones. But,
but not right now.
All right. So how did you get involved in the bear community?
Sort of by accident. I just met this guy on... a particular dating site, and he took me to the Laird, and I was hooked.
Hooked on what?
The people, the atmosphere, the fact that even though I'm reasonably skinny, I still felt like I fitted in with all of these different guys, and just...
The reason I'm asking you now to elaborate a bit on that a bit more is I find some people say quite the opposite when they go to the Laird. So what was it particularly for you that you felt... made you more inclusive and welcome in the space?
All right, well, I spent my teen years in the country, and walking into the Laird was, it seemed like a country pub where everyone basically acts like they're friends and family. Most of the people know each other. It's not particularly high-strung, or on most nights it's not clicky, although there are exceptions. And you can just walk in and talk to people. Why are you shaking your head at me?
I've never had a clicky night at you know, any Melbourne venue. I find that very odd. Perhaps I'm just one of those people that just slides from one group to another.
Quite possibly. But that's
right, but it's not about me, it's about Nick, sorry.
Sorry, I was just had the mental image of you sliding from one person to another.
And now we're moving on to another topic.
Whatever. It's one of those nights I'm not taking much notice.
Because it's the clock. It's getting into your head.
It is. We're going to talk a little bit more about this doomsday clock later. But first, be careful what you're wearing. You never know what you're asking for here on the Kink Corner. That's right. We're looking tonight at the colour coral. Now, what comes to mind when you think coral?
Fishy stuff?
Yes. Do you reckon you could walk on it?
Well, I don't personally walk on coral very often. Nick, do you walk on coral very often?
Well, no? Considering I know what coral stands for...
This is why I thought I'd ask the question, because coral is podophilia.
I'm so glad that you said that right this time.
I said it differently once before. Otherwise commonly known as foot fetishism, people. Now, this common body part fetish, the foot fetishist, points of interest include the shape and size of the foot and toes, jewellery, as in toe rings, anklet bracelets, etc., pedicures, state of dress, whether it's in barefoot or high heels or whatever it's wearing, odour and any form of sensory interaction such as massage, tasting, and pleasing, pain, whatever, all to the feet, be it yourself or to somebody else. Now, some people also enjoy being trampled on or being walked on, while some people prefer the feet to stimulate the genitals in the same way hands would be used. That, my dear friends, is what foot fetishism is described as. Now, Nick, I believe I'm going to put this to you because you're a little bit of a foot connoisseur, so to speak.
I wouldn't say connoisseur.
Connoisseur?
I'm being tormented by a photo of a picture of a spider clown that one of the guest has drawn to torment me by combining my fears.
All right. Getting back on to a topic that I don't really want to deal with. Foot fetishism.
Well, you were explaining at dinner that you look at feet and you catalyse what people might be having problems with based on how their feet are.
All right. Because I've studied basic massage, right, and so I've done things like reflexology and shiatsu and stuff like that, and also I'm looking to study podiatry, I have an active interest in feet and how they affect people. And the fact that most people don't think of their feet as something that can affect the rest of their body. But realistically, if there's a problem with your feet, it can extend all the way up and cause all sorts of problems.
You can actually prove or disprove something for me. Is it true that as you massage the foot, there is a spot for every single organ in your body located on the foot?
Yes, there is. It's every single organ, basically every single bone, all the glands. They're either located on the foot or up to the ankle. And it is like your left kidney is on your left foot, your right kidney is on your right foot.
Well, that would only go to prove more that the feet could be used as a sexual fetish to actually enhance somebody's activities in the sexual realm, I suppose, if that was the case.
It stands to reason, yes, but because there's also positions on the feet associated with the sexual organs, and they're actually on either side of the heel.
Oh.
But it's not just that, it's also the fact that you find the foot erotically stimulating for yourself, correct?
Not erotically stimulating, I more find it...
Well, I mean, yeah.
For a foot fetishist.
Yeah, for... Yes. Sorry, if...
Oh, one of those nights, gentlemen.
Yes,
and
trying
ladies
not to blush. Sorry, my brain's just gone into CD shuffle and I've completely forgot what I was going to say.
Lovely.
All right. So for those people that don't actually know, I thought I might actually just clarify things. You, John Richards, who just reminded me. The colour coral, just in case you don't know what it is sort of an orangey salmon.
Right. Right, so if you're wearing it on the left foot, you have feet to be connoisseured over, and if you are right, you are the connoisseur of feet and said activities.
Pretty much.
Yes, yes. And by the looks of it, that's not far from, depending on the light you look it under, orange, which is anything, anytime, anywhere. So just be careful with that one. That is the kink corner for this week.
Now, thank God.
So, yes, thanks.
All right, are we moving on to something awesome?
Well, first of all, how about what we're asking people to do tonight our show?
We have a discussion topic, people.
We do. Seeing as it's not overly a religious weekend for some in the gay community, We were wondering what you overindulge in this long weekend.
Had a lot. Want to have your say on the Cubby House project? Contact us through Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. The Cubby House Project on Joy 94.9.
Oddly uncomfortable.
It's going to be one of those nights, gentlemen. As I was saying before I was rudely interrupted, we've had lots of feedback on the Facebook page, so please make sure that you jump in and get your comments in.
Now, one of those people who's been making it one of those nights is the man behind that giggle and laugh.
The fabulous John Richards.
Hello.
Sorry,
I was just actually to my Facebook, I was just uploading the picture that I had drawn earlier because Nick said he was frightened of spiders and clowns, so I drew a spider dressed as a clown.
You're
and
such
now,
a bad influence.
Now I have power over him. You know, anything. Look!
Put it away.
Yeah, we'll link that through on our Facebook page as well,
yes.
But there's a special reason we got you on, besides the fact that you're awesome.
Besides that?
Yes, besides the fact you created an awesome television series.
And now it's gone away and everyone's crying. Ha ha! Yes.
That's not nice.
No, it's not. That's why you should go out and buy the DVD.
Oh, how many times are we going to get that in this show?
Really? Let's see how many times I can... Yeah.
All right, so how does it feel having created the phenomenon that is Outland?
The phenomenon. It's nice. I must admit that, you know, I kind of thought that the phones would be running hot during the show and I'd by now be, you know, riding packed to the rafters. But that didn't happen.
No, I wonder why.
There was another soap opera that I did do a test script for, and I think perhaps putting those Babylon 5 jokes into it didn't help. No, so,
all right. So, but you actually did get a bit of negative feedback about it. Someone actually said that the show was too gay.
No, look. To be fair, we got every criticism you can possibly get, and a lot of them cancelled each other out. So
they just didn't know what they were talking about.
Well, I have this theory that comedy is actually unreviewable. But I think comedy, this is what I've learned from both recently when I was watching some 30 Rock and went to read some reviews of it and then went, what is the purpose of this? And also from my experience, you either enjoy a comedy or you don't enjoy a comedy. And then based on that visceral reaction, you'll come up with reasoning one way or the other. That's my kind of thought.
All right, well, you had obviously all your characters were gay.
They all were gay.
Huge amounts of gayness. Was there any sort of role models that you were trying to create in the gay community?
Although, I mean, I always had that thing that when I grew up, there were no gays on the telly. You know, there was Mr. Humphreys and Are You Being Served? And that was pretty much it. Because I am clearly now 700 years old. And
Time Lord.
I wanted to give a whole bunch of different types. And I actually think, you know, in particular, we've given a whole stack of people. But in particular, I think the character of Max, who was our every gay, and the character of Ray, who I call the Monash Academic Lesbian, who is a type of lesbian I know millions of, and I've never seen them reflected on telly before. So,
she was one of my favourite characters.
Well, especially putting those two on telly. And then, of course, Andy, who's the leather guy, who is like so many people I know, and it was great to see him on telly. Just, you know, just being proud of what he does. And it's weird that I found he actually frightens straight people more than anything else.
How bizarre, because isn't he, like, the actual actor that plays him, isn't he straight?
Well, I don't know about that sort of thing. I wouldn't talk about that. No, but also about the character, though. It was interesting that while things like leather and bondage and sex have been commonly used in sitcoms for decades, it's always because someone thinks the vicar is having sex with a dog. He's not actually having sex with a dog. And in ours, it's like, you know, it's not that you think he's accidentally doing a bondage thing. He is doing that. And that was interesting to see that frightened people, and by people I mean straight men, more than I had expected it to.
What was your favourite scene to write?
My favourite episode is episode 5, which is, and basically that's all like one scene. it's the one that's the musical, and I got to record two members of Hunters and Collectors, and that was so exciting, and turns into drama at the end and makes people cry. That's my favourite.
Well, that had one of my favourite lines in it, where, you know, Toby serves. Oh my gosh, I've totally blanked on names. Fab. That was one of my favourite lines. I was literally jumped up cheering for him.
Is that the one about being fat, old, and dressed like a dickhead?
Yeah.
That's something that the director's daughter had once said to him. Which he told us that when we were at shooting at lunch.
You just wrote it in?
And I wrote it into the script. Because he said, I need a scene where this happens. And I went, I've got a good line for it.
Okay. So what advice would you give someone who wants to actually become a producer of a hit television series in Australia?
I don't know, because it's completely about... It's so random. I would say, forget talent. That's not going to help you. It's all about who you know, and it's but in luck. There's so much luck involved. Because even things like you know, we were there at that right moment for this show to happen. If we'd gone a year earlier or a year later, it wouldn't have happened. Yeah, you know, it's a thing of... It is so much about luck. So I guess the thing is, you have to just keep doing stuff.
Keep trying.
Yeah, and I would actually say... I would say almost just ignore the idea of even trying to make television. Make something online, and then eventually they'll come to you. That would be my thought.
Ah, nice. Okay, so now this is the section where you get to plug. It's available on DVD, isn't it?
It is, yes.
How awesome. And I thought it was on Blu-ray, but it's not.
No Blu-ray, not that I know of as yet.
But it's high definition, at least.
I don't know.
All right. So
am I a tech? Did I edit it? No, I did not. I wrote it. That's what I did.
All right. So you can go out and you can buy it from most of the
ABC
major
shops and fine retailers everywhere.
Sexy. All right. And you've got some gigs to...
I've got gigs to play.
You have gigs.
That is insane, isn't it? Adam, Richard and myself are going to be at the Supernova Pop Culture Phenomenon Thing.
Expo, yes.
Expo, is that what they call it?
Yes.
Which is at the showgrounds. This Saturday, Adam and I will be talking and then signing copies of our DVD, which is just very Hollywood. And I'll be stalking Edward James Olmos. Edward James Olmos.
But then you've got another one after
I've got another one. And if you don't want to spend the whatever it is to go that, I'm talking for free at the Brunswick Library on Thursday, the not this Thursday.
So you're going huge, after. Big expo and then library.
It's kind of unplugged. Yeah, I'm keeping it real in Brunswick. And so 7:45 on the 19th, I'm going to say. Could be making that up. But yeah, Brunswick Library. I'll be talking about how you can make... Basically, that question you just asked me, yes. I'll be doing that for now.
Awesome. Now, do you have a Facebook page or a website or something people can follow you on and stalk you?
It's
and...
just me, really. You might as well stalk me on my Facebook page. That's how it seems to be working out. So just John Richards on Facebook. It's a very ethnic name, so there's only one of me.
Stalk random people.
The question is, have you liked us on Facebook so that people can quickly go...
I'm sure I liked you on Facebook. I must have. I get your spam all the time, so yeah.
Why do we keep inviting you on?
I know, I'm so nasty.
Oh, well, that's probably why we keep inviting you on.
Treat him mean.
Entertainment value.
Well, thank you.
I draw pictures of spiders dressed as clowns.
Get it away.
Thank you, John. You're on the Cubby House on Joy 94.9. And somebody's just laughing in the background there. God knows what they were saying. I wasn't paying attention.
Were you? No, they're only guest hosts. It's not like they're important.
Exactly. Now, as I said at the top of the show, I saw something online and I was a bit curious if it actually applied. And it is, does chivalry exist in the gay community? Now, historically, the code of chivalry was a knight who was expected to obey his lord, to be brave, to show respect to women of noble birth, to honour the church and to help people and help the noble kids become men. The purpose of this code of chivalry was that the kings and the knights would have respect for women, that time was for the women. Does that make sense?
You have a point here somewhere, I'm sure.
I'm sure I do. Now, what I would like to know is seeing how chivalry was basically designed to be a man treats a woman with respect.
About honour and respect and politeness.
Can that equate to the gay community, do you believe?
I've had many dates where I wished the guy was a little bit more polite and chivalrous, and I haven't been, you know, hesitant to tell him that, which is probably why I've only, you know, got one boyfriend now. Nick, what about you?
I try and be chivalrous when I can, you know.
And what forms does the chivalry take?
Yes.
Things like opening doors for people, even if it's not the person that you're with. If you're with someone and you open the door or you go through a door, you hold the door for people coming behind you or coming towards you. Or if you get to a door at the same time as somebody else, most of the time what I'll do is I'll open the door and usher the other person through before I go through. Just because it's polite.
I've got a question for you, which just popped into my head because I love those. First date, who buys? You're both male, so ooh.
The top. And
what?
Well,
what if you haven't come to know who's the top or the bottom? Oh, you're both versatile. My answer to that would be whoever has offered to go out on the date to a particular place.
My argument is that they should pay for themselves until you're actually in a relationship.
Well, that's...
Even then, I still make my partner pay for his own food.
it depends. Most of the time, people end up not letting me pay for things, so...
It must be that cuteness factor.
Or the unemployed factor up until recently.
I suppose pity dates would help.
Pity dates?
Love you, Nick.
Yeah, I can't, like... forget it.
All right, so have we dealt with this chivalry topic?
Oh, as much as I think we can in our time slot for today.
Seeing as the doomsday clock is now off.
Well, yes.
It's now the doomsday windows.
All right, I think we've got a really good talk. But thank you. We've done chivalry.
Yes, thank you very much. You are in the Cubby House on Joy 94.9. Coming up after this next track is, if I read my script, Kevin brings his geek on. With the Cubby House, the crazy crew we are tonight. That is Love Me. And would you? Would you love me, Nick? Our guest
host? I love
host?
You a long time.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Should I get this thing ready?
Let's
for you?
Get started.
All right, here we go.
Exploring the world, keeping you jacked in and turned on. That's right. Get your geek on.
Now, in this episode of Get Your Geek On, I thought we'd do a different kind of Easter egg. Now, the Easter egg is a hidden surprise or in-joke, and not the chocolate treat, that can be dated back to the last Russian imperial family who gifted people with jewel-encrusted Fabergé eggs containing additional surprises tucked away inside. In modern times, the Easter egg has become a more associated with technology and can be found in everything from software, especially video games, to hardware, where designers will include graphics and messages on their circuit board. It's just a crazy night.
You were just thinking about the spider clan, weren't you?
Quiet, that got into my brain. The perfect alternative for those of us who suffer from lactose intolerance or aren't interested in the chocolate bunny induced sugar coma. All right, so the first one that was invented was in Adventure, which was developed by Warren Robinette for the Atari 2600. It's often credited as being the game that rekindled and repurposed the use of the term Easter egg. Essentially, what happens is you could go to a secret room and gain access to a special message that said, created by Warren Robinette. Not a fabulous one, but a good start. There are a whole lot of other ones that have come in. For instance, Bill Gates was very, very strong about, you know, not putting in any Easter eggs, and MS-DOS lacked anything. However, Windows 3.1 had a special section where you could Control-Alt-Delete and click on the About section, and it came up with this window that actually scrolled through all the names of the developers. So there were some good ones. Some of the more modern ones include Google and Google Maps, which have a ton of hidden Easter eggs. If you go to Google as a, you know, web page randomly, you'll see the little things that you can click on and go crazy on. Google Maps is rather famous for telling people to swim across the ocean when you put directions in that are on different continents. Or you can kayak across the Pacific Ocean.
Does it give you an estimated travel time? Oh, that's awesome.
And my personal favorite one, which I found out today, is go to any YouTube page, click on a video, start it playing, pause it. Now, by holding down the left and up arrows, and you have to do it a couple of times to get it to work, it starts a game of Snake over the YouTube video.
Now, we tried this just before the show, and we had so much fun with it.
And as you said, you want to see Snake over Adele rolling in the deep, which I'm going to go home and do just for you.
Yay!
Now, Nick, you went hunting. Did you find any cool Easter eggs that were hidden around?
I just searched mainly for game ones, like where there's an homage in games to other things. And so one of the ones that I found is in Skyrim at... Oh, now I can't remember what it's called. Top of the Earth or something, like the highest point on the game map. There is a notched pickaxe, which is a reference to Minecraft.
Yes.
There's another one in one of the fields, which I can't remember where it is, and it's a really basic sword, but it's a reference to one of the previous games.
Okay.
Halo has a lot of Easter eggs in it. In like behind the red base in one of the levels, one of the walls has an Easter egg on it, but actually it plays off the system date and it will actually change and show special events on that board. Like it shows Halloween and Independence Day and things like that. Just depending on the date that you go to this specific spot will depend on the Easter egg that you find.
Very nice. So there are some wonderful Easter eggs floating around in your games. Don't be afraid to do a quick Google search and find them out. And find
these little hidden...
They certainly do. And find these little hidden treats.
Coming up on the Cubby House, Nick, we're putting the collar back on and talking about puppy play.
Yes, and we've also got a discussion topic which has gone off. Absolutely. So clearly people have really indulged this weekend. We're wondering, what have you overindulged in on this long weekend? Want to have your say on the Cubby House project? Contact us through Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. The Cubby House Project on Joy 94.9.
And you're on the Cubby House for another 16 minutes on Joy 94.9. That's right, our doomsday clock is giving us right to the second updates as to when it is.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, Nick, I must, seeing as you are going to be so childish, do you want to come here and get your collar on?
No! I'm going to stay here.
Fine, I'm going to put her on anyway.
Hmm.
Now, I've deliberately made this reference because Nick identifies as also a human, but a puppy. Correct?
Yes. No. I just realised that nodding, again, isn't effective.
No, they can't see your nods.
Yeah.
No, so we're allowing puppy to talk to answer said questions.
Oh, that's... Okay, continue.
So, we've obviously heard of cubs and bears, as Kevin and I are quite living examples of. Masters and slaves we've had a talk with, but what is the relationship between puppy and owner?
All right, I can only talk about it from my personal perspective because, as with all role plays, it's very specific to the people involved in it.
Thank you.
And so there are rules in general, and then there are specific rules and protocols that each pair of partners or each group of people will apply to the scenario that they choose to play out.
Right.
So with puppy play with me, typically, I'll have my paws, and sometimes I'll have my puppy hood. Sometimes I won't. Sometimes I'll have my glasses.
So by paws, it's actually leather gloves that you wear that look like paws?
Yeah, it's basically fist mitts,
yep.
And they can be locked on or they can just be latched on. It's mainly to take away the human aspect of having fingers.
Yep.
And so essentially, you just have paws. So you can still articulate your hand to just redistribute your weight. So yep. You can either be padding along on the tips of your fingers and the heel pad of your hand, or if you're in a playful or aggressive stance, you can pop up onto your knuckles for that little bit of extra height, or, you know, a couple of movements, but not do anything.
And you've also got the mask as well, which is a leather mask that looks like a dog.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. That's not essential for all people when they go into puppy mode. Some people are just... essentially as they are, but they're on all fours. Some people have the whole bag, box and dice. So tail, paws. Some people even have paws for their feet. Hood, collar, leash, chain, whatever.
And have you used all of these at one point?
Most of them, yes.
Now, with the tail, what's most commonly the design of the tail?
There are two main styles of tail that you've got. There's the... tail that mounts to a belt type thing where it's not insertable, and then there's also like a butt plug tail.
Right. Now, what I am curious about, this is obviously a role play, doesn't necessarily involve a sexual element to it.
It depends on the people. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. It doesn't always have to have a sexual connotation.
Sometimes it can simply be about domination.
Yep, and sometimes it can simply be as a release from the stresses of life, because you leave behind who you are as a person and you assume the dog character. So I would just... you just become a dog, and so you've got your bowl and your squeaky toy or whatever you've got, and basically your entire world just becomes playing on floor level at your handler's feet or whatever, or if you've got other pups, you're playing with the other pups as if you were a dog. Mm. And for the time that you're in pup mode, you're not a person. You're the puppy. But with that also comes the responsibility of the handler to make sure that you're safe in that mode.
And how do you organise the contract or the agreement between the two of you on what the boundaries are and what the rules are?
As with all BDSM type scenarios, it's very important for negotiation.
Mm.
And so you find the person that you want to be your handler. You have an open discussion beforehand and then decide a time period, rules, things like that. If it's a more permanent, like an ownership type scenario, things like chastity might be used by the handler to make sure that the pup is under control.
Yep.
Or a collar could be kept on permanently, similar to an owned boy or girl or however you classify.
Yep.
Interaction rules, like you may eat out of a puppy bowl even when in person mode, like still using cutlery, but you may still use the puppy bowl.
Yep.
Things like that.
Is this the sort of thing that you would normally want to be a moderate to experienced BDSM player to go into, or is it something that just as a novice you can go into?
You can do this sort of thing at essentially any level of experience, but with all BDSM things, you must take all due precautions, and it's always better to at least research what you're doing. Yep. And if you don't know what you're doing, either do it with somebody who does know what they're doing or talk to people about it who know what they're doing before you engage in it.
At the very least, research.
Yes, and make sure that you're with someone that you feel safe with. And if you're going out somewhere where there's going to be other people, make sure that if you're in puppy mode and you're roaming around free, that your handler is going to be keeping an eye on you.
Yep.
Because I've had one event in the past where I was on all fours in puppy mode and somebody slapped me on the bum, which you wouldn't do to a real dog. But the person, because they were a friend of mine and not thinking straight, they just smacked me on the bum as I went past. A great credit to my handler was they proceeded to very quickly walk over to this person, pick them up under the arms, walk them over to the other side of the room and give them a good solid dressing down. It's very important with anything like this that you respect the parties that are engaging in it. You get some people who go so far into puppy mode that they stop being the person that they are and they don't remember what happens while they are the pup when they turn back to being the person.
Sorry.
I suppose with all BDSM things, just covering Cookie's cough there, it comes down to a concept of consent.
Yes, informed consent is what's important.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on and talking with us about that.
Oh, you're welcome.
We've got 5 minutes to go, thanks to our wonderful Doomsday Clock giving us explicit instructions.
I wanted to chime on the hour.
Oh, it probably would if you plugged it into the speakers. However, we've been asking a question tonight. What have you overindulged in this long weekend? We have a plethora.
Great answers. Daz from Melbourne says work. Phil from Melbourne says dairy milk, chocolate, and fine red wine. Hopefully not at the same time.
Darren can't say anything because he'd incriminate himself.
Oh, I want to know. I want to know.
Yes.
Mark from Melbourne says honey and macadamia ice cream.
Preston is full of angst. I'll send my hugs out to Preston and to Karen, who also has lost all electrical power for a predominant part of her house.
So. Big cubby hugs to both of them.
Yes.
And Dino Curie was very clever. He overindulged in sleep.
Well, when else can you do it?
I don't think there is anything such as overindulging in sleep.
Well, coming from, a cat personality, no, there's not.
What about a narcoleptic?
Oh, well, that's right. Just put a scientific viewpoint on it. Well done, Cookie.
Well, somebody's got to fill in that spot.
Well, how about an insomniac then?
Well, that's the...
All right, gentlemen, we're moving off this topic.
Yes. Thank you very much, mind you, for Nick, for bringing many a laugh and smile to us tonight.
Well done for surviving. We've had a bit of a crazy episode.
Yes, yes.
But I'd like to say we're not usually like this, but I'd be lying.
That's right. That's right. I have one last question for you, Nick, before we wrap it up in the next 4 minutes, or three and a half as we're going. What is your one most important piece of sex advice that you give your virgin self? Might I remind you, the clock is...
Sorry. I'm obsessed with the clock.
Look away from the clock.
Look away from the clock.
Think before you do it the first time.
Fair enough.
Do it for the right reasons.
What would be the right reasons for you? Like, thinking back...
Well, I'm assuming it would be different for each case.
Yeah. Yes,
back then...
Do it because you really want to do it, not because you think it's what you need to do to shut the person up.
Oh! Oh! Well, that's one way to cut the conversation.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right. Thank you very much, everybody who's messaged in and for listening in to this crazy, crazy hour here on Joy.
Thank you for surviving through with us.
Yes. At the tone, the time will be 10:58.
Okay, no more comments on the clock. We're done. Move on.
We're done. Thank you. Now, throughout the week, if you'd like to get hold of us, we are at thecubbyhouse.net.au for our blog and facebook.com/thecubbyhouse.
Make sure while you're there, you like the page. We put things up during the week as well, and you don't want to miss it.
Well, that's right. And that way you can, for the people we've had on, you know, stalk them through our page if you want.
Not that we encourage stalking.
No.
The psycho music plays in the background.
We also have an email, contact@thecubbyhouse.net.au for all, I don't know, ideas, spam.
Feedback. Give us your feedback.
Insults. I don't care.
Send the insults to Cookie.
Well, that's what they all come to me anyway. So there you go.
Love it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, I do believe in the next hour, we're going to be joined by Dean Beck with some hide-and-seek stuff.
Yes.
And if you are so inclined to actually hang around for that long at midnight Melbourne Standard Time, we're back on.
Really? We're staying here?
Well, no.
Oh, okay.
If you haven't heard, one of our podcasts is actually going to be playing at midnight. See? We're on.
So it's kind of like another double dose with a bit of Dean Beck in between.
Exactly. So
Dean Beck's in our Cubby House sandwich.
If you want more,
here's the meat in the Cubby House sandwich.
If you want more Cubby House throughout the week, check out joy.org.au for more times as to when different shows are on. But tonight, from Cookie.
And from Kevin.
And from me, Nick.
This has been the Cubby House. Stay tuned for the next couple of hours. And we'll be back next Monday at 10 o'clock here on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.